Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
Let me ask you this. I saw something on your Instagram that was extremely interesting. A.O. Smith Corporation.
That was a bomb.
Let's do tickers. I got new stocks for this year. I haven't even talked about these anywhere. A.O. Smith I talked about publicly, but I got other ones. Listen, we're underhoused in this country. You guys have tons of real estate people come on. And you have mortgage people, you have home builders, and so you guys know this. We really don't have enough houses. The up and coming home buying generation, they don't want to buy these pieces of shit from the 1960s that my parents' generation is trying to sell them. They want new houses. They don't want to renovate 60-year-old houses. We got to build more houses. Everyone knows this. The problem is it's going to happen at a glacial pace because of how expensive it is to put up a house right now. You can't find labor. You can't get appliances. You can't get this. You can't get that. So there's going to be, I think, a bull market in new housing, like for as far as the eye can see. The most common age to be in America right now, I think, is 29 or 30. That's the year you buy a house, like all the years around that, right? That's the, like, so you look at the population. What's the age that most Americans are? It's literally the prime home buying age. So bullish on housing. And I know interest rates have been helping, obviously. Rates will go up, mortgages will get more expensive, but I still think the demand is there. Household formation is going to be explosive. Every time they build a new house, every time, no matter how much the house is, how many bedrooms, what region of the country, whatever, it needs a hot water heater. It needs a boiler. There's a 50-50 shot. You go down in your basement, look at your boiler. There's a 50-50 shot. A.O. Smith made it. They have half the market.
They're a monopoly. They,
I mean, that's right. As close as you get.
Yeah.
A.O. Smith been in business since the Civil War. 140-something years. Been public forever. It's still a $13 billion market cap. Nobody even knows that this thing exists. Mm-hmm. If you look at the new highs list, it's littered with companies like this. They're value stocks, pay dividends, do buybacks. They're involved in home construction. Eagle Materials is on that list. Masco makes sheetrock, wallboard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like 50 stocks like that where you've never heard of it, but every house contains their equipment or material. So to me, that's a really great place to be hiding out right now. And look how that stock holds up relative to the NASDAQ, let's say. It's like, I feel like that's like where people want to be this year.
Yeah. AOS was at 343 in 2002. It's at 82.89. My bad, Troy. But just want to give context for how much this went up over the last like 20 years or so.
No, you're good, man. I was just giving you the ticket. People just kept asking, what's the ticket? What's the ticket? AOS.
A.O. Smith, AOS. And now they're entering China and India, and not just entering like selling from here. They have like organization on the ground there. And what makes those markets so exciting, obviously, the size is endless. You could build endless houses in these places. There's nothing there in a lot of cases. But water purification is another business they're in. And the drinking water is just not what it is there. They need all that stuff. So I think this is the kind of stock where you just put it away, you pay a dividend every quarter, reinvest the dividend, do that automatically through your brokerage account, and just forget about it. Just forget about it. And this is a way to play like the next generation coming up and buying houses, building houses.
Yeah, sweet, sweet, sweet. So I want to talk about something that's happened here in New York over the weekend. And I know most people are going to be like, yo, Troy, you always talk about DraftKings. Yeah, I do. Not profitable because a lot of money is spent on advertising. Obviously, Penn Mutual, same thing. So, Josh, I want to know your thoughts on online sports betting. It's here in New York.
Not Penn Mutual.
Penn National. I would say Penn Mutual. Penn National. Online sports betting is here in New York now. And so what does that mean for the industry? Companies like Caesars and Penn National, Flutter, DraftKings, obviously.
Is it Penn National or is it just Penn?
No, I think it's Penn National.
Penn Gaming.
Penn Gaming.
Penn Gaming.
So obviously they've spent, DraftKings has spent a lot of money. FanDuel, which is under Flutter Entertainment, has spent a lot of money on advertising. But there's so many people having advertising. You can't turn the TV on without seeing the Caesars online betting commercials right now with JB Smooth. Yeah. So what are your thoughts about online sports betting?
Yeah, I don't understand his commercial. It's so he's like, Madison Square Garden is empty and he's like yelling to the empty seats. Yeah. He's like, Caesar is here. And there's nobody.
They started doing a prime of COVID. It's weird.
Shit is weird.
Yeah. We got Halle Berry out of that. So we got to at least be acknowledged.
Fair. I'm not in any of those stocks and I never have been. And it's not that I don't think online betting will be big. I just don't think it will be that profitable. when you look at like Ladbrokes and some of the companies that have been operating in England legally for years, they're just not such great stocks. And then you compound that with the problem of marketing. Like, you're seeing those commercials everywhere. None of these companies are profitable. They have to spend so much money to acquire a customer. So I think that market has to consolidate. There are too many. There's MGM, Caesars, this, that. Like, there should be like three of them, I feel like. And that's where it'll ultimately go to. And I don't think that I'll be able to figure out who's going to win out of that crop. Like, gun to my head, I would probably bet on the Barstool guys, just because the genius of that is that they are the marketing, so they don't have to buy commercials. Yeah. And but for the other guys, for FanDuel has to give Bill Simmons $1 million a minute, basically, and DraftKings is spending money like forget it. And like, that's not, to me as an investor, I don't want to see a business that requires that level and concentration of marketing all the time. Yeah. Because how do you ever make money?
Yeah, because if you looked at it, like, Flutter owns the rights to FanDuel. And so if you want to invest in FanDuel, you got to invest in them.
And is Flutter FanDuel, in England?
Yeah, it's in England. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And FanDuel owns, I think, like 31% of the market. And so it's kind of weird because you got to invest in Flutter to invest in them. So it's an interesting place. I still got my DraftKings. I'm invested, so we'll see.
What's that stock? I don't even follow. What's that stock doing right now?
It got beat down. It hit a 52-week low on Friday. I think it got down to $25 on Friday.
Yeah. What's the valuation like? Is it cheap yet? It was not cheap the last time I looked. $20 billion market cap. All right. I'll start following this thing. Yeah, I'm definitely not an expert in this space by any means.
At a conference recently, you had a chance to sit down with Kathy as a wealth manager. What are like some of the biggest lessons that you've taken away from her fall from grace?
So I think she's an extraordinary person, and I'm a huge fan of hers. And I know we talked about that last year, but I was never an investor in her funds, not because I didn't think that they could work, because obviously they've had an amazing run prior to the last, let's call it 6 months or whatever. I just don't believe in buying the most popular stocks as like an investment strategy. And I know like she's focused on innovation, and it just so happens that those stocks have become popular. But every time a stock is in the news, like a big, well-known brand name stock, because they miss earnings or it's like getting killed, later that day, it's like, oh, ARK just bought it. It's like it's become like a portfolio of very controversial, stocks that are falling off their highs. And DraftKings is one of them, and Robinhood, and she jumps in. Not like she's going to rescue the stock, but she's like, I feel like it's very headline driven. So I don't invest that way with my own money. I'm not going to pay somebody to invest that way for me. So, from that standpoint, we've not allocated to her strategy, but I do think that she's somebody that everybody should listen to. I know everyone is listening to her already. She's become somewhat iconic. She's become like emblematic of what the market was like in 2020 and 2021. And even if that era has come to an end, you can't take that away from her. She had six ETFs that more than doubled from the spring of 2020 to the spring of 2021. Like, nobody in history has ever really had a run like that in 1 year with so many different funds. So
you think she would have been better off by concentrating and doing two? Focusing a little bit more?
You know what? I think the issue now is the press loves to build you up so they could then tear you down.
Absolutely.
So the press created her. Yeah. Like, she's a product of Yahoo Finance needing to write an article every 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And everybody, Bloomberg, CNBC, Wall Street Journal, Fortune, Forbes, everybody loves her story. First of all, she's female in a game that historically, stock picking has historically been dominated by famous men. She's fearless. She's on Twitter. She does social media. Like, there's a lot about her that made the financial media fall in love with her. And I talk to the editors at like big publications, and they're like, dude, if we just put Elon or Kathy in the headline, It's like 10x what any other headline we wrote that day will do. So they created her and they feasted off of her. And now that her strategy is out of favor, like high growth, innovative companies are just not in favor. Now they're going to rip her apart for even more clicks. So every day, all the publications, like there'll be at least one article from every newspaper about how fucked up Kathy's fund is, or, you know, she's down more than the NASDAQ, you know, over the last 18 minutes or whatever headline. It sucks watching that because I got to know her as a person and I can only imagine sitting in her seat. It's not that she's changed her strategy. It's that no strategy is always in favor.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.